For our second reading, and we'll find that in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt bear their iniquity, for I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore shalt thou set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of an hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with the dung that cometh out of man in their sight. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up, even until now, have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonied one with another and consume away for their iniquity. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, kiddos, let me ask you a question. Children, how many of you have models that you built at home? Have you ever built a model before? Now, when I was a little guy, we would go to the, what we called back in those days, the dime store. It's now the $10 store, I guess. But we would go to the dime store, and we would pick up a model of a car, an airplane. You know, back in those days, you could buy glue. I don't think you can do that anymore, but you could buy glue in those days because, you know, we did things like swing on swing sets without seatbelts and glued models together, right? We can't do that anymore, can we? They're, you know, models now snap together, and that's okay. That's fine, because they still go together pretty good, and they stay together pretty good. But what you'd do is you'd take this model, you know, and you open up the box, and there's all these pieces in there, and they're kind of tied together with these little tubes, and you twist them out of their place, and you put a little glue on the joints, and you put it all together, and at the end, you've got, I remember one of my favorite models was a Mustang, a car, you know, a Mustang. Yeah, they made Mustangs back in those days. That's right. And so I built this little Mustang, and then I, you know, it had the decals, and you could stick the decals on it, and you could paint it up, and then when you were all done, you were done. You had this model of a car there. And of course, you would roll it around. Although you had glued it together, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like one of those metal cars. You had to be careful with it, but you know, that's what it was like. So, if you were listening, children, you heard that Ezekiel is told to make a model here. He's told to make a model of the city of Jerusalem. He's told to take a tile. Now, what's a tile? Well, we know what a tile floor is, right? But a tile is not just a piece of tile for a floor. It's a flat piece of stone. So he would have had to dig in the ground, mix some of the clay with some straw, make a square out of it, and then let it bake in the sun until it was hard. Now, it wasn't as hard as, say, a really hard rock. It was still kind of soft, but it was a tile, and I don't know how big it was. The scripture doesn't tell us, but it was big enough where he could, with a stylus, with a sharp instrument, like maybe a piece of iron that had been filed down to be very sharp, he could actually scratch out a drawing of the city of Jerusalem. Now, I think this was a 3D model that he was told to build. So it wouldn't surprise me to know that he built up walls and everything, although the text is not that clear, except that it says, I want you to build a ramp. You know what a ramp was used for in those days? Well, because all the cities had these great big walls that kept them in a defensive position against an enemy that would attack, what the enemy learned to do was, first of all, they would just surround the city for a while and make all the bread and water go away. They'd just consume it all up, right? And then they would build a ramp because they couldn't get through the wall. Those walls, I don't know if you know this or not, children, but the walls were, you'll have a brick wall that is about that thick. And then you'll have it from here to the end of the wall there. Then you'll have another wall built like that. And then in between that, you'll have wood and dirt and debris filled up, however high the wall is. So that when those guys come, when the enemy comes, and he's got these battering rams, and for weeks at a time, they're doing this against the wall, you want your wall to be able to withstand that. And so Ezekiel is told to build all that up and make a model of it for the people of Israel. Put a ramp, and that's how they would do it when they couldn't get through the wall. They'd just start building a ramp so they could get over the top of it. Sometimes those ramps were, you know, hundreds of feet long, depending on how high the walls were. And so Ezekiel is commanded here to build this model in the sight of the people of Israel. And he's, you know, put the battering rams around it, put the iron up there, and make sure they understand what this sign, what this model means. This is only the first captivity. This is still under Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is still king. The city has not yet been breached. This is the first captivity. They're by the river Kebar. And so Ezekiel has seen the vision, and now he's to teach the children of Israel that the city of Jerusalem will be besieged and it will fall for the sins of the covenant people. So there's this wonderful model that he builds up. Okay, so then, after that, after he builds this model, and this is an object lesson, then he's told that he's supposed to lay on his side. So first he lays on his left side 390 days. Each day for a year. It's supposed to represent years. Now, I don't think that Ezekiel came out in the sight of the people and laid all day on his left side. But I think that there was a particular time every day that was known to the people of Israel where they would say, oh, look, here comes Ezekiel again, and he's going to lay on his left side. And after 390 days, they're saying, okay, here he comes again, and he's going to lay on his left side. Oh, he's laying on his right side today. And he does that for 40 days. Right? 390 days, for the house of Israel, 40 days for the house of Judah. And when he lays on his side with regard to the house of Judah, then he's supposed to bare his arm. Okay, so what does all that mean? What are the people of Israel to understand that have been taken captive? Well, what happens when you add up 390 and 40? What do you get? Come on, you math scholars. 430, right? 430 years. Do we know that number anywhere else in Scripture? Of course we do. 430 years is the time of Israel's sojourn in Egypt. When Jacob went down with all of the people of God and they stayed there 430 years. And what was the end of that like? It wasn't just a sojourn. It was full-on captivity, wasn't it? And so they are to remember that this siege that is coming, not that it's going to be 430 years, this fall of Jerusalem, not that it's going to be 430 years, but it will be like the captivity of Egypt. They will be enslaved. They will be deprived. Their city will be destitute. And the Lord will bear his arm in judgment. That's what they're to learn by this. And so every day, here comes Ezekiel. He's got the model that he's built up there. And it had to be a pretty durable model because it had to last 430 days out in the open. So I bet you didn't think of Ezekiel as an artisan, but that's really what he was. He built up that model and he maintained that model as he came out and did his object lesson to the people of God for 430 days. All right, so then we come to verse 9. And in verse 9, he's to take all of these disparate grains. Why all that stuff to put together? Now we have to enter into the mindset of the ancient Near East here. Because when we do that, what we're going to recognize is this is the bread of affliction. This is not good bread. Now, we sell Ezekiel 4:9 bread today in stores. People buy it and they think, you know, this is God's bread. Well, it's kind of God's bread in that God gave the recipe, although the proportions are not known because the proportions are not important. What's important to know is you won't have enough of any one particular grain to make a loaf of bread. You've got to put all these disparate grains together just to have a morsel of bread in your mouth. That's what the Lord is telling him. And then he's supposed to tell them. So take all of these disparate grains that normally you'd make a loaf out of that one, a loaf out of that one, a loaf out of that one, and a loaf out of that one. This is not God's plan for health. This is God's plan for affliction. As all of these grains are brought together into one loaf, the people of Israel then, or Judah that are in the captivity, are to recognize what? That their bread is going to be scarce. Scarce. And then he goes on to multiply that illustration by saying what? Well, you're going to have a measured portion every day. Not just a measured portion of this Ezekiel 4:9 bread, but a measured portion of water every day. And you're going to do this in the sight of all the people of God. You're going to bring out a bucket of water and you're going to measure out very carefully the water that you get for that day. And that's all you get for that day. Oh, I know, Ezekiel, you're by the river Kebar. There might be more water there, but you can only drink that much. Because you are going to teach the people of God that their sins have brought them to the point of displeasure from their heavenly Father, such that he will besiege their city. It will be shut up. Their bread will fail. Their water will fail. They will ration it one to another, and they will be afflicted for their sins. Wow, Ezekiel 4, what a great passage then to teach us that God, through his prophet, told them what he was about to do. And notice, if we want to be encouraged at all from the passage, let us be encouraged in this. Note the great condescension of God. How far down he comes in explaining this to his people, such that he would tell his prophet Ezekiel to build up a model and to measure out by weight and by cupfuls the water he is to drink every day. What would the proper response of the people be here? Ezekiel, he's a crazy old prophet. Well, that wouldn't be proper, would it? Ezekiel, what are you teaching us? You're discouraging us, Ezekiel. It's bad enough here by the river Kabar that we've been carried away captive. Come on, we want to hear some encouraging stuff. No, that wouldn't have been proper either. It would have been proper for them to do two things. Number one, we thank the Lord that although we are held captive here by the river Kabar on the way to Babylon, that the Lord is still speaking to us by his prophet. He hasn't shut his mouth. He hasn't turned his face away. He's still speaking to us by his prophet. And then the second thing that it would have been good for them to remember is what? Not only is he speaking to us, but he's still holding out space for us to repent. He's still speaking about our sins to us such that we might turn from them and turn to him. And who cares if we only have a little bit of bread to say grace over and only a little bit of water to drink if the Lord will forgive us? Who cares? Right? All right, with that then, I'd like to